Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 14 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun. Before we begin the actual text, you might notice in the Gemara a double underline on the side of our Gemara in the margin. You'll notice under the Mivneh, the structural note, two Maisim, Shnei Maisim, Im Nechunya Choyfer Shichin Uboros. There's a figure, a personality, whose name was Nechunya, the digger of different kinds of pits that would serve as a public water supply. So in the following sources, we'll see his name mentioned twice. We begin the first source, Chofar Uposach, a person dug a pit, or opened a pit, Umosar Larabim, and then gave it to the public. Potter, if any damage happens as a result of that pit, from that point onwards, he is exempt from compensating for any damages. He gave it over to the public. Rashi, a few lines from the end of the narrow lines, he says, we'll learn the Rashi together, Umosar l'rabim, the Omar l'vnei Iro, he said to his townspeople, Habor ze shechofarti, this pit that I dug, Tzorich lochem lishtois me gishomim hamiskansin shom, it is for your needs, for drinking purposes, a pit in which there will gather rain water, behemos mehen, and animals are fit to drink from them, from these pits. Hare hu mosu lachem, I hereby give the pit to you, to the public. We continue in the source, chofar uposach velo mosar l'rabim, if a person dug a pit or opened a pit and did not give it over to the public, and damage results from falling into the pit, chayav, he must offer compensation. V'chein minhogu shel Nechunya choifer boros shichin umoros. Nechunya, the digger of boros shichin umoros, we'll see a little bit later, Mirtz Hashem, in the upcoming Mishnah, and the Rashi on the Mishnah, more detailed descriptions of these different types of diggings, but they serve as water supplies, entities, pits, into which rain water will collect that will serve as a water supply for the public. So this gentleman, Nechunya, Shoyachoyfer uposech umosu l'rabim, he used to dig pits and give them over to the public. Ukshashamay chachomim badovar, and when the rabbis heard of his behavior, Omru, they declared, Kiyem ze halocha zu, this man has fulfilled this halocha. Now, that statement, though it's intended to be complimentary, it sounds as if they're saying he fulfilled only one halacha. Halacha zu v'su lo, this halacha and not anything else. Ela emo af halacha zu, even this halacha. My understanding is that the halacha referred to is the need to give it over, give the pit over to the public in order to be exempt from any responsibility afterwards. So he was careful and diligent even in that detail of law. But naturally, he fulfilled many other things as well. Tanu Rabbanon, Maise Bebito Shel Nechunya Choyfer Shichin, an incident involving the daughter of this person, Shenofla Lebor Godol, she fell into a big pit, Bo Vahodio Es Rabbi Chanina Ben Doisa, they informed Rabbi Yochanan ben Dosa of this catastrophe. Shal Rishona Amalem Shalom. After 1 hour, he said, she's still okay. Shnia, 2 hours went by, Amalem Shalom. She's still okay. Shlishis, at the third hour, Omar Lahem, also, she's out of the pit. She's safe now. Omru La Mihelech, they asked her, who took you out of the pit? Omru Lahem, Zochar Shel Rechelim Nizdamili, as a male sheep chanced upon me. Rashi adds, Elo Shel Yitzchok. So we're dealing here with something that has much more, let's say, mystical or deeper meaning than the mere translation of the words. So Rashi says that this is the isle, the ram that appeared in the story of the offering of Isaac, of Yitzchak Avinu, in the Akedas Yitzchak story. And that's the isle that walked by. And V'zokein Echad Manhigo, and an elderly man was leading it. And Rashi here says, Avraham. That is what saved her. Omru lo, they then turned to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and said, Novi Atar, you are a prophet. Here you're sitting over here and you know what's going on with her. That she was safe for the first 2 hours, and the third hour she would certainly be saved. It's pointed out in Rashi that the survival possibility in a pit of water was such that for 2 hours a person could somehow survive. The third hour, which is the critical hour at which a person would end up dying, at that point he knew that she would be safe. Now, how did he know that? Omar Lohem, so he answered them, Lo Novi Anochi Velo Ben Novi Anochi. I am not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet either. Elokach Omarti, but rather I figured thusly. Dovor Shois Tzadik Mitzdar Boy, the preoccupation that this righteous man, namely her father, Nechunya Choyfer Shichin, that he so extends himself for, so sacrifices himself for, the digging of pits for the public benefit, for the benefit of the public, Yikosho Bozaro, should his seed, his meaning his children, stumble upon it, fail in it? If he had to suffer some type of tragedy, it wouldn't be in the very thing that he extends himself so much for the public welfare. So based on that, based on Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's awareness that her father dedicated himself so much to this topic of, to this issue of well digging, of providing boros for the public, it wouldn't make sense that Dafka in a pit should his daughter have to suffer. Omar Rabbi Acha points out, Afal Pi Kain, even so, Meis Beno Betzoma. His own son, Nechunya Choyfer Shichin's own son, died as a result of thirst. The Tosfos comments on this that if that be the case, then how could Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa conclude that the tzaddik wouldn't have to pay through the thing that he extends himself so much for? Here, that's not the case. His son died out of thirst. So Tosfos answers that the son died of thirst, but not as a result of anything that was pit related. The Loshon of Tosfos, he says, V'yesh lomar demikol mokom ba'oisu dover atzmo lo hayaroi likoshel, in that very thing, namely a pit, he wasn't fit to suffer from that. So it's true that pits are related to water, and water is related to issues of thirst, but it's not the item itself that the son died from. He didn't die by falling into a pit, for example. Now, there's also the issue here of, here you have a very righteous person, and even so, he suffered this terrible tragedy of his son dying. So the Gemara points out that this is not incongruous. We have a marking, a little crown shape, and on the side of the, under the Mivneh, we indicate these are Makoros, sources Shakadosh Baruch Hu Medakdek Im Sviva Vafilu Kechut Hasaira. The Almighty deals in a very, very strict, relentless fashion with regard to those that are closest to Him. The righteous will suffer, so to speak, suffer the most in this world. And this is because the Almighty wants them, when they get to the afterlife, when they reach Olam Haba, they get their maximum reward. They come basically with a clean slate, that all, any sin that they may, that the righteous may have committed in this world, they'll receive immediate punishment, so that those who are standing by the side, the onlookers, think that the tzaddik has it bad. But it's quite the opposite. All of the suffering that the tzaddik, that the righteous experience, is for their ultimate eternal benefit. So this is what we're seeing with regard to Nechunya Chofer Shichin. And we continue reading in the Gemara, Shenamar Usvivov Nisaro Ma'id. That's the Pasuk, and Melamed, we learn from this Pasuk, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Medaktik Im Svivov. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is very precise, and the word Medaktik is to indicate not only diligence and precision, but relentlessness over those that are closest to Him. Afilu kechut hasayra, even like a thread of hair, meaning even the most minor affront that a tzaddik might violate, you will see that he will pay for it through some type of suffering. As we explained before, in order for them to merit their maximum share in the world to come. Rabbi Nechunya Omar Mehocha. Rabbi Nechunya says that the source for this idea of the Kodesh Baruch Hu being very strict in his judgment of the righteous is learned from the following. Kel Narod Besoy Kedoshim Rabo Venura Al Kol Svivov. The Almighty is awesome and fear creates fear and awe concerning all those that surround him, that are closest to him. Rashi says, "V'nura kol sviva matil emas mishpot of aleihem." He casts the fear of justice upon them. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina now teaches something. It appears in our Gemara basically on one line, but it's of incredible significance in terms of developing one's philosophy and relationship with the Almighty. Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron Hu Yevatru Chayav. Anyone who proclaims that the Almighty is Vatron, Rashi says, Lavor HaKol Pisham, that the Almighty, well, He overlooks all of a person's sins. Well, a person like that, Yevatru Chayav, Rashi says, Yufkeru Chayav Vegufo, that his life and his body will be like Hefker, be renounced. Why is it so bad to have an attitude like that the Almighty overlooks all sins. Well, Shemora El Habrios Lachto. With that attitude, he's telling such a person would be telling the public, listen, go sin. There's no accountability. God, yeah, of course God exists and God sees what's going on, but he overlooks everything. So someone who promulgates such ideas is opening up all fences and teaching the public to sin without having to worry about paying at the end. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Hatsur Tomim Po'olo, the Almighty is complete in his workings. Kichol Derochav Mishpat, all of his ways are ways of judgment. So that the Almighty doesn't overlook in the simple sense, doesn't overlook any sins. He takes every sin into account. There's an additional topic called tshuva, where a person repents, expresses remorse, commits himself not to repeat the offense. That has the capacity of erasing sins, of atoning for sins, of enabling the Kodesh Baruch Hu to forgive him. But without that element of penitence, simply to espouse the idea that the Almighty he overlooks sins, he's not mindful of one's sins, that's a tremendous, tremendous mistake. Omar of Chana v'Tamar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, my dichtiv. What is behind the pasuk? What's the meaning of the pasuk? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Erech apayim, v'lo ksiv erech af. The term erech apayim often is rendered in English translations as long suffering, tolerance, long term tolerance. Again, not to confuse tolerance with overlooking sins. Tolerance means long-suffering, having patience till. So the pasuk says erech apayim, and it doesn't say erech af. Rashi at the top, erech af mashma marich roigezu mamtin mipora. Long-suffering, that is, he will wait, the Almighty will wait a long time before he exacts punishment. That's what one would have said had the pasuk said erech af. Erech apayim mashma shnei ritzoinim, achas shel teva v'achas shel ra. The word apayim is in the plural form, so it has the connotation that there's some type of length or delay, one with a positive side to it and one with a negative side to it. So the Gemara explains, Erech HaPayim is L'tzadikim U'L'Rishoyim. And Rashi explains, L'tzadikim Milishalim Sachar Tov Li'Alter. He withholds for a long time the payment of reward to the righteous, as opposed to giving them reward immediately. No, Erech HaPayim. He's long suffering, or long extended pay, extended with a restraint with regard to giving the reward to the righteous quickly. And the Rishoyim, the Erech Af regarding the Rishoyim, he doesn't punish them immediately. He waits a long time till he exacts punishment on the wicked. So the Erech Apayim concept has relevance to two groups, to Tzadikim, the other to the Rishoyim. Tanu Rabbanan. And here we have a Tanaic source with a great deal of moral lesson to it. Lo Yisokel Odom Merishusa Lishusa Rabbim. A straightforward halacha is that a person shall not toss stones from his property into the public domain. Maise ba'odom echad shohaya mesakel mirshusa lirshusa rabam. It was an incident with an individual that mesakeli cast stones from his personal domain into the public thoroughfare. Umotzoi chosid echad, a pious individual, chanced upon him, Omar lo. And he said to this guy, he said, Reka, you empty one, foolish one, Mipnei ma'ato mesakel mirshus she'eino shelcha. Why are you casting stones from an area that's not yours into your own area? Make no mistake. When he said L'Rishus Shelcha, he was referring to the public thoroughfare. And he called it your domain. Liglega love. So the fellow casting the stones laughed, ridiculed this chosid. Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Yomim. A while later, Nitzrach Limkor Sadeu, the fellow needed to sell his field, Vayamahalech Ba'oiso Rishus Rabim, and he was walking in that very public thoroughfare, Venichshal Ba'oiso Navonim, and stumbled over the very rocks that he threw out into the road. Omar, and now he came to his senses and he said, Yofe Omar Li'oiso Chosid. That righteous one, that pious one, was right in what he said. Mipnei ma'ato, and he quotes what was said. Mipnei ma'ato mesakel mirshus she'eino shelcha l'rishus shelcha. Why are you throwing stones from a domain that's not yours into your domain? And lo and behold, the public thoroughfare became his domain. The Mishnah. Achayfer bor b'shus harabim v'nofal l'seichay shor hachamor chayov. Person who digs a pit in a public thoroughfare and falls therein an ox or a donkey, so the one who dug the pit has to pay for the damages to the animals. And the Mishnah mentioned one who digs a bor. However, the Mishnah goes on to say that it's not. The responsibility is not limited to the digging of a bor alone. Rather, echad achoifer, bor, shiach, umora, haritzen, uneitzen. Five different examples, four additional to the bor. Any of these things that you dig out, chayav, will create an obligation to compensate for damage that happens therein. We didn't explain what a shiach, ma'ora, haritza, ni'itzen are. We didn't even describe a bor. Rashi, though, does. But before we get to the Rashi, we just continue a little bit in the Mishnah. O im kein, if one is chaya for any of these, lomo ne'mar bor, why speak only about a pit? The Torah itself speaks about a pit. Ki yiftach ish bor, ki yichrei ish bor, ki yiftach ish bor. Why the emphasis of bor, if there, in addition to a bor, a pit, there are other things that generate culpability? The Gemara answer, the Mishnah answers, ma bor sheyesh bo kedei lohomis asorot fochim. Just like a bor has the dimensions enabling death to set in, and Rashi points out that a stam bor is asorot fochim. That means when you see bor referred to in an unqualified fashion, it is 10 tvachim, 10 handbreadths. So the Torah states bor to learn from bor to all these other kinds of diggings. So we continue in the Mishnah, af kol shiyesh bo kedei lahomis asorot tvachim. So to any other dug-out entity that has the capacity of killing will generate obligation, and that is at a depth of 10 tefachim. Ha'yibchusim me'asorot tefachim v'nofal le'soich l'shorach ha'mor o'meis. Someone dug something less than 10 tefachim, and an animal fell into it, whether it's an ox or a donkey, and it died, potter. One is exempt. Vim huzak bo chayov. If the animal is merely injured in a pit of less than 10 tefachim, that would generate culpability on the one who dug it, and he would have to then compensate for the damages. Rashi on the Mishnah takes pains to describe bor, shiach, ma'ora, charitzin, meitzin. The description that Rashi gives on the Mishnah will be quite beneficial for us when we get to the Gemara later on, the last third of the Omid. You'll see the point I'm trying to make. But in the meantime, if we look at Rashi on the Mishnah, charitzin eitzin, Rashi says bor is a goyel hu. It's circular. It's you dig out something in a circular shape. Shiach aruko tzara. The shiach is a ditch that's long and narrow. Ma'ora merubas umuchutze bekirui elo sheyesh lo peh. A ma'ora, some will translate that as a cave, but ma'ora here means something that's dug out, that's square in shape, and it has a covering to it, as a roof, but it has also an entrance down into it. Charitzin, that is a type of dig out. Ruchavim, umrubayin, kima'ora. They're wide and square shaped, like a ma'ora. Ve'einon mekurin ela kol pi posuach. It's not roofed like a ma'ora with a mere small opening to it, but it's entirely open. Na'itzin, tsorin mi lemata, uruchavim mi lemala. Ne'itzin are ditches that narrow toward the bottom, wide toward the top. As I mentioned before, later the Gemara will make an allusion to these details in explaining why we need to have all these examples. But before we get to that, we go to the beginning of the Gemara. On the side, we have a Nosei topic heading, Bor Shechayavo Olav Torah, the pit that the Torah envisions as one capable of generating the need to compensate in the case of damage. Rav says, Mishum Hevel, Velo Mishum Chavota. The pit and the damage that it causes is a result of Hevel. Hevel is an interesting word. We'll try to explain it as referring to bad air at the bottom of the pit, bad air or a sense of suffocation that an animal may experience there. So Rav says that the Torah in obligating a person to compensate for damage, it is because that which he dug out created hevel, but the hevlo velo lechavoto. That's what we see in our Gemara. For hevel, the owner of the pit is responsible, the one who dug the pit is responsible for creating a situation where there would be hevel velo lechavoto, but the culpability is not a function of the impact that the animal victim suffered when falling into the pit. Alma kosovar chavota karka ulimhu demaskot lei. So you see from Rav's description of things that that impact is a result of the collision between the animal and the karka ulam, literally the ground of the world. The main point in saying the ground of the world is that that's not something that you own. So it's not something you own. You're not responsible for the impact. However, you are responsible for the suffocation that the animal experiences at the bottom of the pit. Ushmuel Omar lehevlo v'kolshike lechavoto. Shmuel says that the Torah is mechayev for hevel, and all the more so for chavota. What's the point of saying all the more so? So, hevel is not something that you create. You dug a pit. as a result of having a pit with a depth of 10 tefachim, at the bottom of the pit there assembles bad air. There comes together the bad air, the element that causes suffocation. But I didn't make that. I made the depth, and the depth, through having depth, Rashi's Loshon is Memeila Osile. It comes on its own. The Hevel comes on its own. It's not as if I opened cans of Hevel and poured it down into the bottom of the pit. Obviously, that's ridiculous. So Rav says that the bor that the Torah is Mechayev you for is for the Hevel, not for the Chavota. For the injury sustained by the impact, that would not be something that the Torah would hold you responsible for, because the impact is a function of colliding with Karka Olam, which isn't yours. Shmuel Omar Lehevlo V'Kol Shekein L'Chavoto. Shmuel says that the Torah is Mechayev you, holds you responsible and obligates you to pay as a result of Hevel, the bad air, and all the more so for the Chavota. The reason for that, for saying all the more so for Chavota, because the Chavota is something that I created. I created the depth. Having created depth, that's the necessary element for there to be impact. So I created that situation. So if one is responsible for something that he didn't physically bring to the fore, but it came on its own, namely the Hevel came on its own, and yet you're held responsible for that, certainly for the Chavota, which is something that you created. The Gemara continues. After Shmuel tells us, Lehevlo v'kol shekein l'chavoto, v'im tomar, and if you try to argue, l'chavoto omro Torah v'lo lehevlo, that the Torah is mechayev only for impact, not because there is bad air at the bottom of the pit. So that is not the case, though. To suggest that the Torah is mechayev only because of impact on a hard floor of the pit, that's not so. HaTorah ha'ida al habor, the Torah testifies that a bor generates obligation. V'afilu mole soigin shel tzemer, even if the pit happens to be filled with, pillows of clumps of tzemer, of wool, very soft, cushiony material. Sfogin literally are sponges. Sponges are clumps of wool. If you have a pit lined with clumps of wool, there will be no impact that would affect one that falls into it. It would all be cushioned. And yet, that kind of pit is also something that if an animal falls into it and dies, the owner of the pit, the one who dug the pit, will be held responsible. So what do you see? You see that since the Torah, when it said pit, it said it in an unqualified fashion. All pits, even pits lined with sponges and cushions, one is responsible for whatever damage happens therein. So you see from that, from the Torah's general obligation for bor, that it's not dependent on impact. So the suggestion that we saw two lines up, it said v'im tamar lechavoto omrotor v'lo lehevlo, that the responsibility for pit is because of impact and not anything to do with the bad air. That's simply not true, because you are responsible for damage that happens in a pit that's lined with cushions and sponges. There was no impact, and yet there's a chiyuv. So we have to say that the Torah is not limiting its chiyuv to penalizing someone for creating a situation of impact. My binayhu, literally would be, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? But Rashi elaborates on this question a bit more. So let's look at the Rashi together, just a couple lines up from here in the Rashi. My binayhu, michti. let us look into this. Hecho de mace bo, where, let's say, an animal dies in a pit. Bein the Rav, bein the Shmuel, chayav, whether you hold by Rav's explanation or Shmuel, you're obligated to compensate. Vafilu nivkas kreso o nishmuro mafraksoi. Even if you see that the animal's belly split open or its neck broke, mechayev nami Rav. Rav holds that there's culpability for that. Rav as well. Now, don't forget, Rav was the one that spoke about the bad air. So, what is the connection between bad air and animal breaking its neck? The ikal lemeimar, there is room to say. Hevlo nami katlase vafilu nishbura raglo vakichesh. The bad air had an effect on the animal. Even if the animal broke its leg and became weakened as a result, ikolamemar machmas hevel habor cholo vakichesh. One can say it's because of that bad air at the bottom of the pit, the animal took sick and became weak. So, whether Rav or Shmuel, there is responsibility to compensate for damage that happens in a pit. Ma li itaimo dechivu mishum chavoto, ma li mishum evel. What difference does it make whether we explain that the reason for the guilt is the impact or it is the bad air? So, is there a practical difference in their analysis? So now we turn back to the Gemara. Ikovinayo, there is a point of difference between them. The Ovad Gova Bershus Rabim. A person, instead of digging out a pit, he put a mound up in the Rishus Rabim, and after putting creating a mound in the Rishus Rabim, some animal walked up to the top of the mound and fell to the ground. In a case like that, l'rav agoiva lo mechayev. Rav does not hold responsibility for the person that created this gova, this height from which an animal died. Why? Why is Rav not mechayev? Because Rav said that the boar, which this is an example, in, let's say, in general terms of a boar is an element that causes stumbling. It's found in the public domain. Rav would not mechayev in this case of the animal walking up to a height that I had created in the public thoroughfare and fell off. Why? Because when the animal falls off of gova, it falls onto the surface of the public thoroughfare. There's no hevel at that point. There's no bad air or suffocating air in the Rishus Rabim, in the public thoroughfare. So in a case like that, Rav would say there, even though the animal fell and died, there's no culpability. L'Shmuel Agova Nami Mechayev. As far as Shmuel is concerned, for falling from a height that someone created, that also generates the obligation to compensate. My Taimo Durav. What is the basis for Rav's teaching? Diomakro Venofal Ad Shiyipol Derech Nefila. Until one falls in the expected way of falling. Falling means falling into a depth. Rashi adds, Derech nefila bo'imek mashma vi'al ponov. Falling into a depth and on its face. Hence we explained before the idea of hevel being associated with suffocation. So, with understanding the pasuk of v'nofal, v'nofal shom shoro chamor, we understand that it has to be a falling into a depth. Shmuel's response, v'nofal kol dehu mashma, v'nofal means any kind of falling, not specifically falling into a depth. Tanan. And here we have a triangle marking on the side. We indicate these are Kushios al Rav Ushmuel. Questions that we raise along the way on Rav and Shmuel. So we have a triangle here. The next triangle you'll notice in the wider lines of the Gemara. So here we have a quote from our Mishnah, Tanan, in Kain Lomo Nemar Bor. If there's chiyuv for all kinds of other diggings, why does the Torah specify bor? Ma bor sheyesh bo kedei lohomis asorat fochim, just like a bor, and we explained before that a stam bor is a bor stated without any qualifications is assumed to be tenth fochim, which is capable of killing. Af kol sheyesh bo kedei lohomis asorat fochim. So to anything else that has the power to kill, that is ten tfochim. Bishlama l'Shmuel, this source fits in well with Shmuel's approach to things. Af kol nasuye goiva. In the source we read, we also dashed underline af kol. That's an inclusionary expression. So it's as far as Shmuel's concerned, it's there lasuye goiva. Shmuel was mechayev on chavota in addition to hevel. Says that Afkol comes to include the case of Gova, the mound that someone created. That's an example of Chavota. So that Bor that's taught tells me about something ten tfochim deep, and anything else that has those dimensions. And that comes to the expression in the source of Afkol comes to include the case of Gova, Elo L'Rav, Af Kol Asuyemai. According to Rav, that says that there's a Chiv only on Hevel, and there's no Hevel in the Gova case. So what is Af Kol coming to include? You have here an inclusionary expression. How do you account for it according to Rav? Answer, L'Asuye Charitzin U'Ne'itzin. The Af Kol in the source is telling me that we are to include not just bor, but along with bor, you include charitzin uneitzin, different kinds of ditches and diggings into which an animal can fall. The Gemara, though, asks, charitzin uneitzin behedyo kotoni lahu. If you look back in the Mishnah, you don't need the Mishnah to tell me af kol, to include the other kinds of diggings, because Haritzin and the Itzin are spelled out in the Mishnah explicitly. So as far as Rav is concerned, what do I need the Af Kol expression to include? The Gemara answers, Tani V'Hodar Meforesh. The Tana says that one is chayav for charitzin and eitzin, v'hodah meforish, and then the Mishnah goes on to explain from where I learn that out, namely from bor. That's toni v'hodah meforish. Therefore, suggesting that the af kol is coming to include charitzin, and then you try to ask, but charitzin has already been said, I don't need the af kol. So we explain you need to have charitzin, and the af kol is the basis from which the Mishnah knew to include, in addition to bor, the charitzin uneitzin. The Gemara asks, "Vahani kulu de kotoni lomali?" Why, in fact, do I need the Mishnah to spell out each one of the examples that it did? That if they have a depth of 10 fachim, the owner must compensate. So the Gemara answers tricha. You'll notice that we have a long answer marking. In addition to the long answer, we have also on the side of the Gemara a tat nosei mivnes, a subtopic heading with a structural note. The squiggle underline is associated with the trichusa, means it is necessary to teach. And you'll notice we've used this marking under the expression the Itana. Had the Mishnah taught this and not something else, and that theme is repeated down the line here. So on the side we say that Srichusa to the more here is to show the necessity lechol hadigmos ba Mishnah, that each one of the examples in the Mishnah needed to be taught. The crown shape that you see is going to be used to highlight the expressions bar, shiach, ma'ara, etc. De'i tana bor, had we had just the example of bor, havamino, I would have thought, bor asora hu de'is behevla, mishum dekotun ukricha, that a bor, once you have 10 tfachim, since it is narrow and round, it has hevel. Avol shiach, the orich, emo basora, less le hevla. But the shiach, which is long, it has length to it, I would have thought that 10 is not enough to produce hevel. Therefore, in addition to bor, it was necessary to teach shiach also, that having 10 tvachim, it has enough hevel to create to create death for an animal. Ve'i tana shiach, have amino, shiach asorahu de'is behevla mishum dekotin. I would have thought that in the case of shiach, once you have 10 tfachim, you have hevel, because it's narrow. Avol ma'ora de mirabo, a ma'ora which is square, it's not narrow, but it's square in shape. Emo, I would have thought, ba'asora les bo hevla, that 10 tfachim is not enough in which to create hevel. Therefore, it's necessary to teach ma'ora as well, that 10 tfachim of depth is enough, there's enough depth to create hevel even in the case of ma'ora. Ve'i tana ma'ora, have amino, ma'ora ba'asora hu de'is bo hevla. Had we taught ma'ora, then I would understand that 10 tfachim, it produces hevel. Mishom de metalilo, because it's covered. Avol, charitzin de lo metalili, charitzin, which are, as we saw Rashi on the Mishnah say, they're wide and square in shape like Emora, but they're not covered. Emo basora les behu hevla. I would have thought that 10 tfachim of depth in the case of charitzin, you will not have hevel. Therefore, we have to teach charitzin as well. V'itona charitzin, have amino charitzin asora hu de'is bo hevla mishum de les behu revicha mili'el tfei mitatoi. I would have thought that, okay, charitzin has hevel because it doesn't have a wider at the top and narrow at the bottom. It's uniform in its shape and depth. Avol ne'itzin de revichi mili'el tfei mitatoi. Ne'itzin have this angular feature to them that they're wider at top and they taper in, becoming narrower at the bottom. Emo basor les behu hevla. Because of that configuration, I would have thought that 10 tvachim is not enough to produce hevel, komash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah taught ne'itzin as well, that if they are 10 tvachim deep, like bor, there is enough hevel to kill an animal. We noted earlier the triangle represented kushios, questions on Rav and Shmuel. So we continue with another question. Tanan hayu p'chusin me'asorah tfachim. A pit was less than 10 tfachim. V'nafal o'seicha shor o'chamor. And there fell into it an ox or a donkey. Umeis. And the animal died. Potter, the owner is exempt. V'im huzak bo chayav. If it was damaged therein, so he is guilty. Nofal l'seicha shor oy chamor umeis, potter. My taima, why is there exemption? Lav Mishum the less bay chavota? Is it not because that there isn't sufficient impact? Even though, and here we're adding the main point that you don't see in the words, even though there is hevel. So we see from here that we have a kasha then on Rav and Shmuel, whereby you have a situation of there is the presence of hevel, and yet the owner is exempt for the death of the animal. The Gemara answers, lo, mishum deles bay hevla. This bore that's less than 10 tfochim of depth doesn't have hevel. Ihochi, if it doesn't have hevel and it doesn't have impact, then im huzak bo chayov, the source said that if damage happens, the owner is guilty, ha less bay hevla, but it doesn't have hevel. Amri, we answer, ein hevlo lemisa, v'yesh hevlo lenezikin. At a depth of less than 10 tfachim, so there isn't sufficient hevel to kill, but there is hevel to create damage. The animal took sick because of the hevel and became weakened as a result. Hahu tura, there was an ox. Tura is an ox. The tof of this word interchanges with the shin in Hebrew. This is an Aramaic word. So in Hebrew, shor becomes in Aramaic, tura. Denofal la'arisa dedaloi. It fell into an irrigation ditch. The dimension of this irrigation ditch is important for our sugya. It has a depth of an amo. An amo is 6 tfochim. So the animal fell into this irrigation ditch. Shachte more, the owner of the animal hastened to slaughter it, and Tarfe, Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman declared it a trefa. The halachas that govern kashrus of animals dictate that if an animal has an organ deficiency, then at times, if it's a sufficiently severe type deficiency, in accordance with the standards that the Gemara lays out, it's declared a trefa, and hence you cannot eat it. The most common case of trefa is a hole in the lung. Another form of trefa is an animal that sustains impact. The animal externally doesn't look like anything happened to it. We don't notice any limbs or broken bones protruding forth from the animal, or anything else that seems obviously wrong with it, but the fear is that it experienced shock as a result of the impact, and unless the animal remains alive for 24 hours after the impact, we will declare it trefa, and that is known by the term risuke evorim, which is one of the 18 different forms of trefa that are enumerated in Maseches Chulin. So in our story here, the owner of the animal slaughtered it immediately after it fell, and Rav Nachman declared it a trefa. Om Rav Nachman I shokil more dahai tura kava de kimcha. If only the owner of this ox had taken kav as a measure, a kava kimcha, flour, means he packed away a lunch. If he would have spent a little money, very small amount of money, to buy some, literally, a kav of kemach, the ozel tana bay medrash, and gone off to a base medrash to study the following, he would have learned in his study the following. Im shasa meis leis kshera, if an animal, after experiencing impact, survives for 24 hours, even though it doesn't stand up, it doesn't walk around, it is still kosher. Well, if this owner had only done that, taken some flour, as I said, he boxed himself a lunch and gone off to a base medrash and discovered this halacha, lo afsidei v'tura de shava kamokavi. he wouldn't have had to lose his ox by Rav Nachman's declaring it a trefa that's worth many kav. Kav, again, is a measure. We said a measure of flour. Whatever the cost is of a measure of flour, of a kav measure of flour, it's much less than the value of the ox that he just lost. Why are we telling you all of this? For the following point. Alma, kosover Rav Nachman, from the fact that Rav Nachman was matrif the animal, Rav Nachman is of the opinion, yesh chavota bepochos me asora. Up till now, we've been speaking about impact having significance at 10 tochim. Rav Nachman gives us the impression, this is subject to change, but at this point, he gives us the impression that there's chavota, there's impact, we'll say life-threatening impact, at less than a 10 tfochim. We mentioned that the irrigation ditch was 6 tfochim in depth. The markings that you see, the bow tie and then the diamond, are explained on the side under our Nosei / Mivneh heading. The bow tie, Ta'amim Lahasbir Psak Rav Nachman, there are approaches to explain Rav Nachman's Psak, Shehitrif Shor Shenofal Loimig Shol Shisha Tfochim Bilvad. Rav Nachman declared the ox a trefa, though it fell a mere 6 tfochim in depth. So the first approach that we've already read in the Gemara is that, well, because Rav Nachman says there is impact, there's a life-threatening impact that even less than 10 tfochim, enough to render the animal a trefa. And a trefa, we didn't mention it earlier, but it's indicative of the animal not going to live. The diamond that you see, Kushios al Tam Harishon, Shiyesh Chavota Bepochos Me'asora. We're going to be raising questions on this claim that there is Chavota at less than 10 Tfochim. Well, Rav Nachman said what he did. Esve Rava the Rav Nachman. Rava raises an objection. We have a source, it says, Hoyu. Chusim me'asorat fochim, v'nofal l'soich shor oy chamor u'meis poter. We saw this in our Mishnah that had the ditch or the pit been less than 10 tfochim, and there fell into it a shor or chamor and died, there is exemption. My taima. Why is there exemption from paying? Lav mishum deles be chavota. Is it not because there isn't sufficient depth to create impact? The Gemara answers, lo, we're at the top of Daf Nun Aleph. You know why there's exemption? This would be an answer that Rav Nachman gives, and it's an answer that is in line with the approach that Rav offered at the beginning of today's at the beginning of the Gemara in this section following the Mishnah, and that is Mishum Deles Bei Hevla, because at less than 10 tfochim there isn't Hevel. Hevel, the bad air, the suffocation element is lacking. Chavota there is, and it's on those grounds that the animal is declared a trefa. So there's sufficient impact to create trefa, but there isn't sufficient hevel to create death, and it's for hevel that one would have had to pay. And that's why there's exemption. Ihachi, huzak bo chayov, in the Mishnah it taught that if it was damaged, there is culpability, but ha'les behevla, but you said there was no hevel at a less than 10 tfachim. Omar lay, so he answers, ein hevel lemisa v'yesh hevel in Ezekin. There isn't sufficient hevel to kill the animal, but there is sufficient hevel to injure, to make the animal sickly. And therefore, for nezek, for damages, payment must be made. Esve, again, a long question. The source here deals with court execution through what's called skila, through stoning. The court execution of stoning is not immediately by hurling stones on the guilty party. Rather, he is brought to a cliff that has specific dimensions. It has the cliff has two person heights to it, and the term used to refer to person height is the koma, and the guilty party is pushed off of this cliff, and the expectation is that through falling that height, he will die. So it says as follows: Beis Haskila Hayagavoya Shtei Komos. The Beis Haskila is the site near the court where court execution would take place. That Beis Haskila, that site, which we said resembled a cliff, had two person heights to it. From the edge down to the ground were two komos, v'toni alo, and concerning that, it's been taught the komo shalo plus the height of the person himself. Hare kan shalosh. So when the person falls, he's falling, if you count the descent from his head down to the ground. So you will notice there were three person heights of falling, of descent. V'yisaka daitoch, if you were to accept Rav Nachman that said yesh chavota b'pochus me'asora, that there is impact at less than 10 tfachim, loma li kulehai, why do I need to have three person heights? If you assume that a person is three amos in height, one amo is 6 tfachim, 3 amos, 18 tfachim. 2 person heights would be 36 tfachim. But if you're going to go like Rav Nachman that says that at a mere 6 tfachim there is chavota, what do you need so much height for the Beis Haskila? So the Gemara responds, L'tamech neved asor, according to you that are asking on Rav Nachman from the standpoint that 10 tfachim is what you need to create chavota. So why didn't they make this Beis Haskila simply 10 tfachim? Why two person heights, which we said before would have been 36 tfachim? 10 tfachim would be enough to create sufficient impact to kill. So why did they make it 36 tfachim? Ela ke Rav Nachman, like another teaching of Rav Nachman. The Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Omer Kra. If you want to know why they made it two person heights when they could have made it a mere 10 tfachim, because the pasuk says V'ohavta l'reacha kamocha, you shall love your friend as yourself. What do we learn from that pasuk? Bror lo misa yofe. Even though we're dealing with the execution of a sinner, of a criminal, nevertheless, choose a proper form of execution. And what is a proper form of execution? An execution that will happen quickly. And therefore, we can tell you as follows. There is chavota at less than 10 tfachim. However, he won't die fast enough. He'll writhe in pain and suffering. So the Gemara says, well, Lihachi, if your consideration when you're dealing with the Beis Haskila of having it two person heights, it's because if you have to rechomuch, you want to ensure a quick death. Well, ihachi nag betveis, so then make it even higher. The Gemara says, mishum de minval. the body, if it falls more than that height, is suspect of becoming dismembered, where limbs start to fall apart. And that, too, would be a violation of Avavta L'Recha Kamocha. So we want to, on the one hand, have a quick death. That's why we're not going to have more than two person heights. And that also helps to explain why we don't have it just a mere 10 tfachim, because the death won't be fast enough. More than two person heights, there's the problem of nivul. Eisvei, another question. Note, we have a long question marking. This Taneg source that we're about to learn, it deals with the laws of Micah. Micah, Ma'akeh, or Micah, is a fence that one is expected to place around the roof of his house. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that we're dealing with flat roof homes, which oftentimes were used. People would use their roofs for all kinds of different purposes. The Torah expects that a fence be built around the roof. The Pasuk says, Ki yipol hanoifel mimenu. Mimenu velo lesocho. The obligation of having a mica is to prevent someone falling from a roof to a Rishus HaRabim, to a public thoroughfare. And we're medayik, mimenu, from the roof, to falling down to a road, to a public thoroughfare, that demands a mica. V'lo l'socho means not falling onto a roof. Well, how do you fall onto a roof? Ketzad. Hoysa Rishus HaRabim gavoya mimenu. If the road is higher than the roof, you have a house that's built, let's say, on the side of a mountain, and there's a road running along the top of the mountain. That scenario, that example, would have someone possibly falling from the road onto a roof. So that explains the case of what we were medayik before. The mica will be necessary to prevent falling from a roof onto a road. Here you have the Rishus HaRabim gavoa mimenu asor tfachim, the nofal misocho letocho, and someone fell from the Rishus HaRabim, which is running along the top, down onto the roof of the house built on the side of the mountain. Potter, there is no obligation to have a mica in that case. Amuka mimenu asora tfachim, if the Rishus HaRabim was deeper down, it was lower than the rooftop by 10 tfachim, v'nofal misochi l'secha, and one would fall from the roof onto the street, chayav. There's an obligation to have a mica. The Isanka Daitach Yesh Chavota B'Pochos Me'Asora, if you're going to follow Rav Nachman's approach, that there's Chavota at less than 10 Tvachim, Lomo Li Asora. Why, in the case of the house, do you demand or necessitate having 10 Tvachim before you are Mechayev, before you obligate having a mica? By the Taneg source we read that spoke about 10 tfachim, we get the impression that less than 10 tfachim, there would be no need for a mica. Ah, but if you say yesh chavata b'pochos me'asor, if you go like Rav Nachman, even less than 10 tfachim, there should be the need for a mica. Omar Lay, so he answers, shiny bias, the case of the house is different. In general, there is chavata less than 10 tfachim. However, when you're dealing with laws of houses, the chol pochos me'asora lav bayis hu. A house that measures less than 10 tfachim is not a house. And there's, therefore, no chiyuv of mica. The rule of mica is dependent on it fencing the roof of a house. But if something lacks the identity of being a house, there's no need for a mikveh. Ihachi hashtonami dahave me'avroi asora. Well, then, if that's the case, if a house needs to have a minimum of 10 tfochim of height from floor to ceiling, even now that you have a structure that measures from the roof till the floor, till the street, so there you might have 10 tfochim, then let's read the words again. Hashtonami dahavi me'avroi asora. Even now that you have 10 tfochim from measured from Avroi, from the outside, from the surface of the roof down to the street, there still should be no need for a mica, because dal mine tikro mazivo migavoi, subtract the thickness of the tikra, of the ceiling beams, and the maziva, the plaster, that all that creates thickness from within, lo havi asora, so that even though from the surface of the roof to the floor, there to the road outside, there might be 10 tfachim, but as far as living space is concerned, you don't have 10 tfachim within the house. From the floor of the house till the ceiling, if till the rooftop itself you've got 10 tfachim, till the ceiling within the house you have less than 10 tfachim. It's not fit to live in that, so why do you nevertheless say it needs a mica? Amale could go into chok migavoi. The structure described before of having 10 tfochim from the roof surface till the street below, 10 tfochim, within the house itself, the floor was dug out, creating more depth, so that if you measure from the dug out floor till the ceiling within, you'll also find 10 tfachim. So you have 10 tfachim of height, of living space, from within, and 10 tfachim from the surface of the roof to the road running outside as well. That is why you have the need for a mica. You have an obligation for a mica. You have something called a house. Well, ihachi, if you're introducing this new consideration of having the floor dug out from within, ki lo havinami ma'avroi asara mishkachas lo de havi migavoi asara kagon de chok ba tvei. And therefore, let us require even then a mica. Let's go over this question. If you're maintaining till this point that there is chavota, there's impact that is, we'll say, life-threatening at less than 10 tfachim. Rav Nachman said 6 tfachim was sufficient depth to create treifa. So that there's chavota at less than 10 tfachim, you can have a structure that would measure from roof to road below less than 10 tfachim, and the structure is still called a house. Why? Because from within you dug out even more. Why then is there no obligation of a mic in a case like that? Ela hainu taimo de Rav Nachman. At this point, then, we're going to speak of a new calculation. At this point, we can tell you that Rav Nachman acknowledges that you need to have 10 tfachim in order for there to be life-threatening chavota. So then why, when the animal fell into the 6 tfachim deep irrigation ditch, did Rav Nachman say the animal is a treifa? Because believe it or not, in that scene, you actually have 10 tfachim. How is that? So the Gemara says, Elohainu taimed Rav Nachman, Sovar mikresa detura le'aro kamahavi arbo. Measure the distance from the bottom of the belly of the ox till the floor. There's a gap between the belly and the floor. Four tfachim. Arisa de daloi kamahave. The depth of the irrigation ditch, how much is that? Shisa, another six tfachim. Ho asura ishtakach dechika machbet. Me asura hu dechika machbet. You come out, ishtaka means you come out with that the impact when it happens, in other words, the animal body hits the bottom of the irrigation ditch from having fallen 10 tvachim. Elo masnisin de kotoni ma bor shehu kidei lohamis asor tvachim av kol shiyesh bo kidei lohamis asor tvachim. The Mishnah spoke about a standard boar has enough to kill because its depth is 10 tfachim. So to anything else that has a depth of 10 tfachim, if an animal falls into it and dies, the owner has to pay. Do you really need to have the boar 10 tfachim of depth? According to the calculation we just gave you, b'shisonami sagya, 6 tfachim of pit depth would be enough. Why? Because from the belly of the animal till the edge of the pit, you've got already a height of 4 tvachim. And then the animal falls an additional 6. The animal's body fell 10 tvachim. The Gemara says, Amri Masnisen, the Mishnah that says you need to have 10 tvachim in order to generate a chiyuv, to compensate, obligation to compensate when the animal dies, because you know how the animal fell into the pit? It gander labor. It rolled into the pit. You didn't have the additional 4 tfachim of animal leg height to add to the fall. So as a result of that, if the animal was lying on its side and rolled into the pit, you'd have to have 10 tfachim. The only depth measure that you have now is the pit itself. Therefore, the Mishnah spoke about a 10 tfachim deep pit. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.